Okay, so we'll continue with our going through the pseudo Shabbos. Start with actually eating. In halacha, eating is defined as two things. You have to have two aspects. You have to have a certain amount of food eaten, and you have to take place over a certain amount of time. If either one of those factors are missing, then according to halacha, one did not do a ma'isa achila. So we're familiar with this perhaps on Yom Kippur, because a person is chas v'shalom not able to fast, there are medical reasons. So we often give the advice of eat at shiurim, have a certain amount of food with a certain distance between them. What the details are not important for right now, but the reason why we do that is because when you spread it out, that's not according to halacha. The person did put food in their mouth, but they didn't do a ma'isa achila. So that's one of the eights. Now we have to figure out what to eating, speaking, a hefsek, all these types of things, how that relates to a suda in general. And then it's more often, since most times we certainly wash on Shabbos, maybe not throughout the week. So, but this really is a weekday halacha as well, even though we're approaching it from the Hilchos Shabbos aspect. So Shulchan Aruch writes, Yochel miyad, person should eat immediately. V'lo yasiach bein bracha l'achila. So you shouldn't make hamotzi and then start schmoozing. V'im soch, but if a person did speak, tzarech lachzu l'varech, you have to go back now and make a new bracha because it's a hefsek. We know this. Ela im kein ha'isa sicha b'devarim me'inyan devarim shemevarchin alav. So now, one second. Not all speech is a hefsek. If it's a speech, you're talking about something that you need for the su'uda, it's a tzarech, that's not a hefsek. So, for example, we're going to talk if you need salt. Salt is something you need on the table. We'll discuss in a few minutes why we do that. So if you would ask, bring the salt, bring me a knife, that is not a hefsek. You would not have to make a new bracha. Kigon, for example, he says, Sheberach al hapas v'kodem she'ochel omer heviu melech aliftan, right? Give me some, the liftan, something else you would dip the bread into, the salt. Tanu leploni lechol, give so-and-so to eat, to Michael the behema, give to my animal, because person's not allowed to eat before their animal eats. V'chiyotze ve'ele ein sorach levorech. So if you spoke in one of these things, it's not considered a hefsek. So somehow this crept in, the right? You're allowed. Technically speaking, you could speak. We'll see why we don't. The minhag is to make the unus and all the strange vowels. But
That's not Dibur,
right? But you could. I remember I was at a chasen once, and the Rosh Hashiva of Eichenstein came over and said, "Can I have a challah?" So I handed it to him, and I turned around, and he just picked up, and he walked in and had motzi. He was back on the table. If you would walk over and just like, no, I would have gotten the picture point, right? But you're allowed to speak. Man, Ikra didn't, one could. So why don't we? What's the source? You look in the Ramah, right underneath it says, Mikomok, nevertheless, lichatchi, the best practice is, lo yafsi klal, not to do this. So Sfardim don't hold. Sfardim will speak directly. They don't do that. If they need something, they'll do it also. May Ikra didn't. You could also say that it's not considered a hefsek. To bring the salt or knife or whatever, there's something to need for the meal, but because the Ramah says this is the source in Klal Yisrael for all the interesting noises that happen trying to hint to you can convey a lot. There's a book called The Joy of Yiddish, so I wanted to look up what I think nu. I want to see how they translate nu. I think he has like 20 different definitions for this nu. It's a gavaldik. All right.
To do the ploni, why is that? Like, why is that mandatory? Why is that something that he needs before he eats? I understand salt, I understand gives to your behemoth, but why? Like,
could be the person that needs lechem mishnah. They need lechem mishnah. So we'll see talking about in a minute about whether to give out to somebody beforehand or not. Yeah. Okay, it says now the next source. Ein hamesubim reshoin litom ad shitom habotzea. So everyone who's sitting around the table waiting, they're being relying on this person's hamotzi, they're not allowed to eat anything until the botzeya, the one who made hamotzi, eats himself. Ve'im yesh lefnei kol echad lechem mishnah. If every person has their own lechem mishnah, yachon litom afal pi yishadayin lotom hu. Then they could have that, provided even though the botzeya, the one who made the hamotzi, has not yet eaten. So that could be the answer. No one's saying give bread to this person because he wants his own. You know, many times, let's say you have a guest, a family for Shabbos, and they're going to make their own hamotzi for whatever reason. They're, very often, if somebody has a gluten-free or something, they made their own challahs or something like that. They're going to make their own hamotzi. So they don't have to wait till the botzeya is, because they're not being relying on that. They could make their own hamotzi and they'll give out to their family. But if they're not, and they're waiting for that, so then we'll see in a second, you know, let's say the person makes hamotzi, doesn't take a bite, and starts passing around all the challah. The people who are passing around the challah shouldn't eat until the one who made Hamoti takes a bite from them. That's the Ramal brings the next one. Mutilate lechol echad chelko kodim shiokalhu. Right? You're allowed to give out before he himself eats it, right? Veheim yamtinu ad shiokalhu. And they have to wait. The people might not realize that. Oh my goodness, you get the challah. It's like you know, it's almost it's a little like the rash. You have your challah in front of you and you can't take a bite out of it. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Taz. So what's best practice? If you think about it, if you're passing it around, no one can eat until you take a bite. So it makes sense. So you should take a bite first, cut a slice for yourself, eat your own challah, and then pass it around. And as soon as everyone gets it, they can take it themselves. It's a little bit faded. We'll read it. It says Vidas Hataz Ve'inyan Zeh. Right, it doesn't make sense for him to give out to everybody. Because since they can't take a bite out of it until he himself eats, it's like a hefsek, because you're doing something that's not needed, it can't be done, and it's to pass out bread that can't be eaten yet. That's, he says, it's like a hefsek. Therefore, ze osur lechatchila ela yir litom kodim. He should take a bite first. So the person who's making hamotzi should make the bracha, should eat his own, take a bite from his own slice, and then you can start passing it around. And people realize this. This is it's not considered to be an abnormal behavior for the one who's making the hamotzi to take a bite and then to give out to people. Because the Mishnah brings from the Taz that if not, then it's a hefsek, because you're doing something that's not related. I mean, it's related, but it's not necessary at this point.
Is there a minimum share someone has to eat?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. So really, a person should try to eat kezias, but as long as he just swallows a little bit, then that's enough. Can you imagine you have to wait for the person to have a whole kezias? that could be a problem. No, but there isn't a minimum share for this, but you just swallow something. There is a minimum share we'll see in a minute about how much challah one should eat at the suda, because as we started back, the beginning, the premise is to do a ma'isa chila is a certain amount of food concerned within a certain amount of time.
So is he even cutting more than one piece essay
before he takes it?
Yeah.
Probably best practice would be to cut one slice, eat that, and then while you're eating, you can start cutting up the, because it could take a minute, whatever it is, to cut. So probably best to cut the slice for the botzei himself, and then, or what's it called? And yeah, then cut up the rest for everybody.
Well, what do we do on Pesach? I forgot.
In Pesach?
Yeah, in the matzah. Don't we distribute it out first, or
before eating?
No, yes, we don't, right? Because you have to make the brachan obviously on the shalom.
Right. Well, that's machlokis. It's in the Rishonim already. Do you have two matzahs or do you have three matzahs? Right. So we've been learning about lechem mishnah. So according to the lechem oni takes the place of lechem mishnah. So therefore, even though normally throughout the year I have two shlemos for my lechem mishnah. According to one opinion, the Rishonim, the Groh has like this as well, that no, on the night of Pesach, I make the bracha on a shalim and on my prusa and on my broken one, and that takes the place of lechem mishnah on this night. Majority, I think, the overwhelming meaning is not like that. That we would take three matzahs. That way, that will have the shlemos to do it as well. I recently saw, I think it was in the Jewish press. I forget where I saw it. I heard it already, but I just recently saw it again. Rishach saw the five kezesim from one matzah. That was from Gorelick, I believe it was. They had five kazesim from one piece of matzah. Everybody ate. Okay. Nowadays, you need five matzahs to get one kazais. You know what I'm saying? It's a v'nahapachu. But the actual shiurim are much smaller than perhaps they're being made out to. But the minig is, usually on Pesach, the people will get from the matzah itself, and then they'll be mashlim the shiur. They'll take another matzah from sitting next to them or whatever it is. Yeah.
There's still a hefsek for the mesubin. Like if a person cuts his challah, eats it first, but the other mesubin are still waiting, why? It would just seem like if you haven't, this only comes if you have enough bread, you would already just leave the bread in front of them, even though you're not cutting from that loaf.
But they're still eating from the main piece.
What do you mean?
You're talking Pesach or regular?
No, I switched back to regular Shabbos.
Regular Shabbos.
From the one that you made motzi on. So by definition, it's kind of...
No, that's not. That why wouldn't it be that each person would have like a little bagel or a little challah next, already at their spot, and the botzeah would have in mind, it's covering everything on the table that he sees.
He can have it.
And that way...
So not, you're not commissioned.
If he had lechem mishnah, he could do it himself. He could make his own motzi. Makes on a motzi.
There's something about getting it from that those two here.
That's what the bracha was on, and yeah. Right. But if you have your if you're making your own hamotzi, then you don't need to take from his.
Right, he's trying to say like
he makes the bracha, but
I'm saying the bracha's on everything.
Need that later. It doesn't have to be for your first bite. It can be anytime during the suda if that's the segula challah.
Segula challah.
Go to the
it's more expensive.
Table, whatever.
Shrayim. Yeah.
Okay, so there's that's however that's a big thing. Okay, that's segula challah. But you don't have to have that as your first bite. You can have that later on after you've.
No, but the chassidim they wash at home and then they go to the tish continues in the shul. So they've already made lechem mishnah at home. They're going now that you're right. So it's a hemshech. So they know. They're going to have, they'll get challah by the tish. Yeah. Right. But that's not their lechem mishnah. I recently saw, I was in Kiryas Seol, I saw the Rebbe had a challah like half the size of this table. It was wild. It was huge. Wow. Huge. Okay. Hey, right. So it says the habotzeh nosim prus lefnei kol echad ve'echad noita prus biyado. Ve'ein habotzeh nosim biyad ha'ochel el imkein hayovel. Not to hand the challah directly in front of the person. It's a minug of avelus. It's a minug of avelus to put it in hand to hand. So the question is, what's the source for this? I was looking at Pesach Tshuva's discusses about this minug of not putting it in the hand, right? Makor mehar Rambam perek zayin mihilchos brachos ach ein ledavar zeh mokor megemora midrashim. There's no source in Shas for such a thing. Gama pasuk move the Ramah brings a remez for this in pasuk in Echa ein hu b'midrash. We don't have this. El and the Avud Raham. So the Avud Raham was very important early sefer on a pirish on the Siddur. So that's where it comes from. Bekvar kosuv harashba b'tshuvas simin reishai in ches al minag zeh shalola seis haprusa biyad zeh midivrei chachamim hu v'lahem b'vadai umakor yedua hayelo leib. Sorry, b'zeh. Vishachachtiv. I knew the source and I forgot it. Vim emsa echad achar habadika eshlach vodiachai. If I find it, I'll let you know. Meaning, it's unclear. So there is a source for this. So I was asking around this idea about in certain communities. I believe the Moroccans, the Syrians, Iraqis, they throw the challah. They throw the challah. So I looked around, I could not find it. It's certainly done, but what is that? Because normally we assume it's a design for Oakland to treat them, to throw it around.
My wife, she always tells me not to throw the challah.
Not to throw. Okay, good. I don't know.
She's reacting to how she grew up. She's like, oh, I didn't like that.
She's going to go for her.
She's afraid you're going to throw it at her. Yeah.
What?
What if they miss?
I don't know. I've never even seen this. I've just heard of it. My Talmudim have told me that they throw the challah. So I don't know.
It's not like toss. Like at the front of them on the table. Okay. You know, yeah. It's not like.
Make sure.
It's not a football.
Catch it.
I don't think they toss it to the person, right? They toss it in front of the person. Or they toss it to the person.
So I'm not sure. One of the reasons I should say is that we don't, besides this idea of a velus, what's the whole source for Lechem Mishnah? We spoke about this a few weeks ago.
From the Mon.
So the Mon, the inyan was that you had to go out and gather it. That's why another reason this form bring down as to why we don't hand it directly to the person, because you're supposed to, it could be right in front of you, but you're supposed to reach out and take it. Because it's a Zeichel Mon. So just like in the Medbar, they had to take the Mon themselves, so do the Suda, which is a Zeichel Mon. That's why we spoke about different nafkaminas, whether the Chalas are covered at all three Sudas or not, what the reason is behind that porous map of Makadish. But if the source is for based upon Mon, then one makes a lot of sense that one should not hand the person directly. They should have it. You could pay for it. But again, you have a challah tray, you have a thing, and everyone just you pass it on the thing, so everyone takes it. That's fine. That's keeping with the minig. Okay, so Michael asks, how much do you have to eat? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Vav, lo yasiach ad sheich lelilos kitzas mihaprusa vilavenu. So you have a kitzas. You have a little bit. You should swallow a little bit. You take a little bit of bite of it. Omnon, however, ain tzorach shochol dav kashir kazayas kodim sheyidavir. You don't have to have a full kazayas before you speak. That could be wild. So the way Simon quotes, I think maybe from Reshech, or from Aaron Cutler, that how do you know what a kazayas is of chalas? Imagine like a middle slice on rye bread. That middle slice in rye bread, that's the volume of what a kazayas is. Or the other way, he's saying like the palm of the hand without the fingers. That would be the amount of bread that would be a kazayas. But generally, he's not the fan of these people who take out their rulers and their things and measure out the. That was not the minhag, was to bring rulers and measurements to the Pesach Seder. Certainly not from you. Da'afilim ochel rak pachas mikazayas achar bracha chashiva chila le'inyin zeh. Even if you have a small bite, that's good enough. But for regards of the hefsek, The mutl ledavar ledaber achrikach im hutzorik lekach. You could speak after that. You took a little bite if you need to. V'shalo b'malkam hadchak. But if you're not really pressed, you don't have to speak right away. Tov shochem mitzchila shir kezayis. The best thing is to eat a kezayis at the beginning. And this is important halacha to know, that even for like, you're eating a bagel or something, to try to eat kezayis right away, it satisfies many potential doubts as in terms of how much to eat over a certain time. And the Achronim discuss more of this idea about why eating a kezayis. They're not on the source sheets, but there's the Eshel Avram, and there's the Dog of Mervava. So the Dog of Mervava writes, since pas is really, it's going to pot to the whole meal, right? When you wash hamotzi, that exempts every meal type food, not all foods, all meal type food that's served during the course of the meal. So therefore, you should eat a chashav shir at the beginning of it, because that's going to, you know, you have a little big, right? So I'm taking a little hamotzi, you take a little this right now. Now you're bringing my chicken and my rice and my potatoes and my cholada, and I put to myself with a little okay. You should have a chashav amount of food, because that's the pas that's going to exempt all the other meal type foods. That's the Dagam Vava. The Eshel Avraham, the Pachach, writes that the reason why you have a kezayis at the beginning is because the kezayis is the minimum shear that you need in order to wash. Right? That's the minimum amount. If you're eating less than the kezayis, you don't wash for hamotzi. So therefore, since that's the amount that was goring that shows that I'm washing, so therefore he writes that's why you should have a kezayis at the beginning of the meal. But best practice, he writes, Mishnah Berurah says, is to try to have a kezayis at the beginning. If you can't, okay. Or if you need to talk, you could. It's not like, don't get confused and think, oh man, I can't speak until I have a kezayis. You could speak as soon as you swallow. You're done. You did it. There's no hefsek anymore. You made a bracha. You did a maisa chila. But now, just to try to wrap it up, to no pun intended, wraps. Okay, but to do it correctly, the best thing, as he says, is to have a kezayis. If you have a kebetz, even better. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Tzadi Aleph. Va'af im hu soveya yoch l'kayim osak beitza. If you could have a beitza, it's even larger than a kezayis. So that would be the amount to eat. But again, preferably should be done at the beginning of the meal for those reasons. Okay, now talk about the salt. Now, I guess the background, this is a discussion that relates to Pesach as well, about do you have to dip your matzah in the salt? You talk about on Rosh Hashanah, do you dip your challah in the salt? You want a sweet new year, you don't want a salty new year, so what do you do? The reason, there's many reasons given as to why we have it in, we dip the bread in salt. It could be, this is also important to point out, a year-round halacha. Remember, there's a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, he used to keep in his wallet little salt packets. So when he would have a suudi, would he be able to, like the Shulchan Aruch says, to dip your bread, it's always accessible. You know, you're out somewhere or something like that, and you're about to wash, so he would keep a little, you know what I'm talking about, the little salt in it. Salt packets, yeah. So it says like this, in Kuf Samech Zayin. You shouldn't make a hamotzi, you shouldn't break the bread until you have the salt or the dip in front of you. If the bread was made, it's a clean type of bread, it's pas nikia, or it has the salt in it, then you don't have to wait. You wouldn't have to dip it into salt. This is probably, we can malavet zechus, and those people who don't dip their bread in salt, because they're relying upon the shita, the mechaber rings, that the bread is clean already, doesn't need the salt to purify it. Mikom Malkum says the Ramah, mitzvah lehaniach al kol shulchan melech kodim shivtza. There's a mitzvah, nevertheless, to have salt on the table beforehand. Ki ha-shulchan doim le-mizbeach v'achila ki-korban. Because our tables are considered to be like a mizbeach, it's mechapir for us, and our achila, and we're eating, is like a korban. And says the pasuk is, for every korban you have, you should have salt, right? Therefore, since the table's a korban, every table, the mizbeach, should also have salt. And it also protects a person from punishments. There's something sort of a spiritual benefit to having salt on the table. So what's this idea about the salt? So again, if there is no salt, then one could theoretically dip it in something that might have, like you could dip it in the cream cheese or something like that if you didn't have butter, whatever it is, the salt on the table. There's an inyan to dip it three times. The Svarim bring down Kabbalistic ideas about what happens when you dip it. I'll show you one thing. In Piskei Tshuvos also talks a little bit about, is it? Gimel Pa'amim. Yitbo b'prusa ha-melech gimel pa'amim. You dip three times in the salt, V'yechavin lahantik ha-gevuras l'salik ha-sitra achra me-ha-shulchan. So hantak ha-gevuras means sweetening the strict judgments. V'gam b'shabbos kodesh yechavin l'kavona zu. Even on Shabbos you should have this kavona. Ach minag achasim soifer zetzal v'talmidov acharav lo lipo b'leil Shabbos kodesh prusas ha-moitzi b'leil melech. The minag of the achasim soifer was not to do this. Mikom mokom tzorech she ha-melech al ha-shulchan. You still have it on the table, you just went dipping it. You should keep it on the table until after benching. If you don't have salt, you could dip it into the bread itself. It's the same letters, right? The minhag is when you don't have any salt, lipol hapas b'shar ma'acholim v'tavshilin. Sheesh behem melech, to dip it into something else that has salts. I guess, I don't know, does, you can look at the ingredients. Does this have salt? Laura, is there salt in these things? Probably, yeah. It says salt, very good. Pasteurized milk and cream, cheese culture, salt. All right, it's one, it's up there. Isn't another thing, though, if there's such a small amount, you're not required to list the ingredients?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which means it has enough salt in it.
It made the list. That's why agav, one of the most difficult... products to give a hashkacha to is barbecue sauce, because there's so many ingredients in barbecue sauce that they're not required to list. I think if I remember correctly, it's like 75 plus different types of spices that go into making barbecue. I don't know, but okay, so salt made it. So if you didn't have salt, you could dip it into the cream cheese.
What's the pasta nakia, just by the way? How do you determine if your pasta nakia?
Our bread now we assume is pasta nakia. We assume all the bread that's professionally manufactured has that status. You don't have to worry about it. Back in the day, it was...
I really mean, like, you're saying clean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah brings that. Yud. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the din of eating, we just saw it's like a korban. Ha'achila she'odam ochel lechazek kochosav. A person should ideally be eating to make themselves healthy. We have to understand we're eating so that we should be able to serve Hashem. Hashem wants us to be healthy. We have to treat our bodies as a tool to use in avodas Hashem. Hashem wants us to eat to be healthy. I spoke about this many times, that one of the single most preventable form of sickness comes from unhealthy eating habits. It kills more people than smoking. Is unhealthy eating habits. Mishnah Berurah is bringing it down. A person has to eat healthy. It's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv to eat healthy. Doesn't mean you can't snack a little bit. Okay, you know, like you say, throw the dog a bone. You want to eat a little. You want a little cake or something like that. Okay, but really, really, a person has to eat for this kavana that I'm eating to be healthy. That's the whole point why we're eating. We have to, but it's a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah so we can get the. Owning Shabbos while we're enjoying our food, but at the end of the day, we have to remind ourselves of what we're eating for. There's many, many sforim written just on this inyan of how to eat. You know, you have to teach me how to eat. I know exactly how to eat. I take my hand, I put it in my mouth, I know how to eat. But there's a big avoid in achila. It's a huge, huge sugya. And it's hard to tell because you don't really know what's going on, but like Maisa, the Skver Rebbe, Shlita, takes the same amount of bites every Shabbos. The fish, it's an avod. There's something obviously very deep going on there. Like you're talking about the shrine from the Rebbe. There's big kavanas that go into the food, elevating the sparks that goes into it. When a person, let's say I'll take this bagel, I'm looking in front of me, a person eats this bagel with kavana. So Wolfson points out that what happens when you eat, I'm now going to, eating this bagel, shayv koch, to serve, to learn Hashem, to daven, to do mitzvos. So now it's not just this bagel that I elevated. But the entire process that went into production of that bagel now retroactively becomes elevated. So the farmer who planted the seed that became the wheat, that now whole action now becomes elevated, right? The tractor that cut down the wheat, that manufactured it, that made it into the bread that was manufactured, came to the store, and the driver took it from the farm to the store, to there the farmers, to the supermarket to my car. You go through the whole process, you know, you pause, you have a cup of coffee, and you think about where this bean, I don't know where this bean came from, Colombia, I don't know, maybe somewhere. But wherever the product originated from, when a yid makes a bracha with kavana and then uses that koach that was in the food, that was in the drink, and use that in avodas Hashem, that now elevates l'mafreya every single step that went into the process of bringing that food to the shulchan. The shulchan, Rav Olson says, is like the word shlichus, shulchan table, because everything is sent to a person. Everything comes to a person. Everything has, everything food has, called nitzotzos, has divine energy in it that's a connection to the person. The fact that I took this bagel, not that bagel, was min hashamayim. I don't know why I took this one, that one, but it has a shaykhus to me. The fact that you took that bagel, because it has shaykhus to your neshama. Every single food that a person eats has a shaykhus to them. Every object that a person owns has a shaykhus to them. And when that object no longer has a shaykhus to you, you lose it. Why did I lose my yarmulke? I had that yarmulke for the last 4 years, all of a sudden I can't find it. There it is, because you used up all the nitzotzos in that yarmulke. You didn't need it anymore. Now you lost it. It's gone. You don't need it anymore. A person goes to the store, buys an apple. So that apple had a connection to them. So you cut the apple in half, and I share it with my chaver. So the half of the apple had a shaychus to me, and the other half had a shaychus to him. That's how everything works. So you have to understand that the food is sent to us. It's a shulchan, because it comes to us to a shlichus, and when we're eating it with this kavanas, we elevate everything. Physical objects as well. Physical objects as well. A person has a chair right now and uses this chair to sit and to elevate it. The tables become elevated. The whole physical creation becomes elevated when it's used for avodas Hashem. Okay, let's move on to Shalosh Seudos. Chayv Adam Lechol Shalosh Seudos B'Shabbos. There's a chiv to have three meals. V'tzarech Lechvo Kol Seudah Mishloshton Al HaYayin V'tzo Al Shtei Kikoros. To have yayin. We spoke about this in previous weeks as well. The Rambam Sheet is the one who makes Kiddush at Shalosh Seudos as well. By the Chassidim, they do this. They make a Brei Pri HaGofen in the middle of the meal. Tzarech Lasois B'Pas, says the Shulchan Aruch. You have to make it. The best practice is to you have bread. You can have mazonos for Shalosh Seudos. Some say shiachalasos bedvarim shemlaftem behem pas kibosur bedogim. You can have fish. You have a piece of a deli. Avalo beperos, but peros would not be enough for Shalosh Seudos. V'yeshom rafilu beperos yachalasos. So we saw this was a shilti giborim. From previous shiur, we discussed this idea about what's the minimum amount. Svar b'shona ikar, but the first thing is the main one. One should have bread for Shalosh Seudos. Shetzarech lasos bepas elim kain hu sovei b'yos. Unless you really can't, you have no room. You can't wash. But if a person self regulates themselves, they should be able to wash for and have some bread as well.
Isn't there a view that fruit is allowed?
Best not to. Best not to. We saw a tshuva from Chacham Avad Yosef, where we covered this in Kiddush Malkam Seuda, right? What was considered to be a Seuda? So in terms of the hierarchy, the first is best is always bread. Some people are makbid only to make Kiddush where they're going to the Groth, only going to make Kiddush where they're having Hamotzi, or to repeat again. Mazonos is usually what the Olam holds from, but there is this opinion of Peros. You could rely upon it, because the Shilta Giburim is a... It's quoted as not the pasuk in this way, but the Mishnah Berurah says there are who hold like that. So yeah, it's not the best, but it would work if you only had fruits. Best is to have bread at all the sudas. Yeah, as we says.
So some people learn to fulfill the third.
Yeah, we don't rely upon that. You know, the famous word from the Beis Halevi, right? So if for Shalosh Seudos, right, there's an idea in the Zohar about you learning for Dal B'Yoytzi Shalosh Seudos with Torah. So the Beis Halevi was a witzvah. You give me a piece of bread, a piece of fish, you can't take that away from me. But if I upshlug your Dvar Torah, it comes out now that you weren't really Yoytzi because I disproved your whole Dvar Torah. So that's the literature approach to that. Yeah. That actually comes up in the Sugya of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, but okay. We don't rely upon this, Lamai, so we actually... wash. Yehei zohir ma'od l'kayim suda shlishis. One should be very careful about having Shalosh Seudos. Ve'af im hu soveya yoch l'kayim oisa b'chbeitza. Okay, if you're really full, you just have a little bit of din. Ve'im i'efshar lo klal l'chol. If you cannot eat, ein achay l'tzaras asmo. You don't have to be mitzara, pain yourself in order to have this. Ve'chocham ein av berosho. But a wise person will think ahead. You're not going to stuff yourself at your meal, your afternoon seuda, so that you will have room. Shlo yimale bitno b'seuda taboker. Not to fill up your belly with the morning meal. Kedei litein makom l'seuda shlishis. So you should have room for Shalosh Seudos. He doesn't bring it here, but there's a Magen Avraham. He says, really, it's not proper for a person to fill himself up at Kiddush. person, the kiddush is okay. You have something, but to be full. But when you get home, because you had this kiddush, then you bounce to the second shul, then you go to the third shul. You're stuck. You can't eat anything. You're full. It's not right, says the Magen Avraham. One should not. You should have something to eat, but you should really have an appetite by the time you get home to have your suda shnia. So it's not proper. You have to pick your battles, but to tell people they can't go kiddush hopping, this could hurt them. This could be very detrimental to their religious growth if they can't have their kiddush every week. You know?
Isn't there a special significance of like four meals?
Yeah. It's called Mleva Malka.
Yeah.
Mleva Malka is the fourth meal. There is a significance. That is the fourth meal. It's Mleva Malka. It's not four different kiddushes.
No. It's a special benefit to having all four every Shabbos.
He's particularly chasha. He has it all at one time.
No.
So when they light the candle, they have a Mleva Malka every week in their house.
It's a big inyan, Mleva Malka.
Yeah.
It's like a candle. It's the suit of David Melech Mashiach.
Yeah.
It's big. There's miros for shalosh. It's only one. It's only one simon. It's a very small simon Shulchan Aruch, but it's big. Mleva Malka is. I don't know why people aren't more makbid on that. It's a big inyan to have Mleva Malka. Some people don't change out of their Shabbos clothes until they have Mleva Malka. So
you'd have bread from Mleva Malka.
Yes, but you don't eat lechem mishnah. You wash, but you do not have to have a lechem mishnah. That's only for the three Shabbos meals. There isn't any of hot food. Try to have something hot.
So, leftover kugel or something.
Right, leftover.
So well, last night we had a soup. We had a soup that was our hot food. Or you have a hot tea or something. But there isn't anything to have hot food on Motzei Shabbos as well. There's a whole sefer called Lev Malka Kehilchasa. All the halachas of Minhagim and Tyrus on.
Do you have to be in your house or can you go to the pizza shop?
You can go to the pizza shop. Tosha Rebbe Zatzal did not like this.
We don't have the candles, though. Sorry.
There you go. You should put out candles.
So, you have three meals for what's the background to the three meals?
Because the Torah says Hayom three times. So, because it says Hayom, referring to the months, therefore, we learn that there's a requirement to have three meals on every Shabbos. And let's say, for example, let's say a person is not feeling well, doesn't have a suit of Friday night. They weren't feeling well, whatever. So, then Shabbos day, they would have three meals.
Oh, wow. I should have done that.
But in the desert, they got double portion was for Friday night, and
the double portion came on Erev Shabbos.
Yeah.
Two different opinions. The Gemara Tosfos quotes two different midrash in the beginning of Beitzah, whether you got lechem mishnah on Yom Tov or not. Did you know Erev Yom Tov? Did you also get a double portion then? There's no sfeikad yom in the midbar. They knew what day was. They only kept one day Yom Tov in the midbar. But on Erev Yom Tov, did you keep two? So two days we hold like the opinion we do lechem mishnah on. On Yom Tov as well, but there's two opinions in Tosfos.
So if you have to have Suda Shishit, if it's a requirement, then why was it just two portions back when of the mana instead of three?
That's where I was.
Basically, you're six rolls or six pieces of something. Maybe it was.
Not sure.
That's what I was.
Not
that's
sure.
That's what I figured you were going at.
Yeah, something like that. I'm pretty excited.
Right. How many lives actually came?
Well, double portions, and it's a Friday.
What was the normal portion? Right? Did you normally get three, and then you got six? Because
you didn't get six. No, you got Friday, and you got free shops, right?
Right, but the question is, what's your normal portion? Is your normal portion enough for three meals or not?
But they were only eating one Friday night. They were only eating, I don't know what one. They were eating a portion. We made it into two breads.
I lost the video. I don't know how it... I don't know. Okay, shkoich everybody. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.